Blog Talk Radio.
Like a dying breed.
Where have all the charming men gone?
Where have they gone? Once their ranks were many. King Arthur and his noble court. Alexander the Great. Leonardo da Vinci.
But every time I turn around, all I see is just guys being inconsiderate.
I want an old-fashioned gentleman. Where can I find one?
Where have the gentlemen gone? Some say they are lost forever, casualties to the ravages of time, relics of ages past, never to be seen again by mortal eyes.
It shouldn't just be something that has happened in the 60s and the 70s, but something that should happen forever.
Oh, the humanity!
But hope is not lost. A wind rises in the cycle of time, and in the ceaseless circle of life. What is lost?
A day may come when the courage of men fails, when we forsake our friends and break all bonds of fellowship.
But it is not this day.
Let no man forget how menacing we are. We are lions.
A man rises to fill the void, and he is the modern gentleman.
We all have a great need for acceptance. You must trust that your beliefs are unique, your own, even though others may think them odd or unpopular, even though the herd may go, that's bad.
Join us. Join the revolution. Join the Society of Modern Gentlemen.
It is I, Ashley, your highly untrained, highly dysfunctional radio talk show host here on Modern Gentleman Mondays on the Modern Gentleman Radio program. Welcome, everybody. Good to be back. Start of a new week. Lots of things going on. Lots of things to talk to you about. I'm really excited here. Very shortly, we're going to be bringing on a very special guest, and we're going to be talking about men's fashion and all kinds of stuff, about to get you gentlemen ready for the spring and the summer. And knowing how to look your best, not just because of you're wearing similar clothes compared to what you're seeing in GQ, but basically how to look your best for your body style and all kinds of really awesome information. I cannot wait to get into this conversation with our special guest. But first, I want to tell you guys about some really big things that we have coming up over the course of, I would say, the next 2 weeks. And, of course, March 1st, our imprint magazine will be out. It will be our first issue, and we did have to put it off a little bit longer than we thought to get the first issue done, but I just really wanted to make sure that, like everything else we do, it was at the best quality just had the best quality content and everything that you guys would expect to come out of a Modern Gentleman program and out of our Modern Gentleman Society and our brand and everything that entails. So that is coming up soon, and later on this week, you will be able to get some information on how you can pre-order one of those magazines, or where you can just find it online as well. Of course, you guys saw our Modern Gentleman cigars were just leaked online on our social media. We're really excited for that. That will also be available March 1st. And let's see what else. The website will be relaunching to help promote some of our new products and stuff. So lots of things starting to come up, and new things will be continuing to launch and be coming out and being released over the course of the next few months, leading all the way up, of course, to the Modern Gentlemen's International Conference, which will be this May. And there is lots of information going to start coming out about that. starting in March, including our, you know, you'll be able to see the trailers and our commercials and all the good fun stuff of what we're going to be doing down there. And we'll slowly start leaking you guys information about the event. And it should be a pretty good time. So with that said, you guys need to be paying attention to social media. You need to be paying attention. If you're not already on the email list, get on the email list, because we are going to be putting out lots of stuff, having lots of contests, giving lots of giveaways for free. So lots of really cool and exciting things happening here at the Modern Gentleman over the next couple weeks. So if you want to have questions answered here live on the show, on our YouTube channel, which that's relaunching, by the way, on March 1st, or you know, on this show or on our website or any of the avenues that we do, feel free to write into question@moderngentlemansociety.com, and we will make sure to get that question for you. If you want to remain anonymous, you can always do that. Now, for those of you that are listening into the show tonight, you can call in at 657-383-1820. Again, that's 657-383-1820. And we will get your questions, comments, bitches, gripes, everything answered here live on air. And I will try to get to you as soon as possible. I know sometimes we have some issues with rambling on this show, and I forget to take callers. And I apologize. I am going to get better at that. But I do always say that I am your highly dysfunctional radio talk show host. So you can't hold it against me. You were warned to begin with. So now I want to talk about our awesome guest that we're going to have on the show tonight. Kind of done quite a few things in her life, actually. Her name's Shayna Feldman, and she lives out in L.A. She actually had a few stores of her own, just in men's fashion and in the industry, and she's a stylist and stuff. And she actually had given them up to specifically get involved with fashion as far as, you know, dressing out basically musicians mainly for different events that they do, or whether it's, you know, maybe a photo shoot or a party, or it could even be a music video or a concert or anything that they do. She's kind of the one behind the scenes. And not only is that cool enough in itself, but she's so good at what she does that her work has actually been published in several magazines. And some of the people that she works with are actually names are worth mentioning. So it's just, it's pretty cool. You don't typically meet somebody like that. And I'm really excited to hear what she has to say as far as, you know, her industry and what that's taught her and how that can help you modern gentlemen out there today learn about your style and your fashion. But let's go ahead and welcome her onto the show. Shayna, are you with me tonight?
Hi, guys. Sorry, I had a feeling that you were going to bring me on right when my cat's asking to go out. So hang on, I need to shut the door again. It's going to be loud.
What's your cat's name?
Okay. His name is Bodhi. If you've ever seen Point Break, really bad 1980s surfer movie with Keanu Reeves.
Very bad, yes.
Yep, that's what my cat's named after.
Well, that's fun. I feel like that's one of those movies that's so bad that you actually like it. You know what I mean?
Oh my God, I love it. It was like a college movie that we watched like every other weekend. My boyfriend at the time and I.
Right. Yep. I know exactly what you're talking about. So why don't you, tell us a little bit about what you're doing currently? I mean, I know you're working with some of, you know, these musicians and these bands and stuff. And can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So where to start? I'm signed with an agency. So I have like a model has an agent or an actor has an agent. I think a lot of people aren't aware that the rest of the crew can also have agents. So my agent represents photographers, makeup artists, hair, and wardrobe. So she's out there trying to get us jobs and whatnot, and when we signed together, she asked me what direction I was really interested in going in, because you can do everything from, like, Nike commercials to some people do sports photography, not fashion photography, and within fashion it can be movies or TV shows or you know, there's 5 million different little routes that you can go. And I specifically told her that I was really interested in working with musicians, which worked out really good with the agency that I happened to be lucky enough to sign with, because she was just starting out as a talent agent, and what she had done before was be the day-to-day manager of a band at a record label. So the music industry is really her thing as well. So we do a lot of music work just within my agency. There's always other things, you know, e-commerce for every brand with a website. There's a team taking those pictures, and that's steady pay, and we all do it. And there's fashion editorials for magazines. So there's a lot of different projects, but the bulk of what I do is working with musicians, and that's like where we're trying to steer my career. So within that, it's everything from, depends on the artist and how much budget they have and how big of a priority styling is. You know, Beyonce has her stylist with her probably 99% of her life is, you know, helping her because they need it. It's a full-time job. That's why we are having a full-time job picking out wardrobe, is because it really is a full-time job. So it can be everything from doing their, you know, most of their life to their daily appearances to their performances to some of them I just see, you know, a couple times a year to update their photo shoot or do a music video or a party or whatever they have going on. Ask me more questions, Ashley. Hello?
Okay, Ashley's back here. Not really sure what happened there. We're still having issues for some reason with this Blog Talk Radio program. But I'm going to try and get her back on the call. And give me 1 second here. All right, so anyway, I apologize about that. And hey, at least we're not having the issues we were at the beginning of this year. I think we're getting most of the kinks worked out, which is pretty nice. But Shanna's back on the line, so Shanna, are you there?
Yep, where did you lose me?
Oh, I lost you when you said...
Ashley. Okay, making sure you're there.
Oh, I was like, oh God, not again. I'm trying to remember. I honestly don't even know. I just got so confused by what was going on.
Okay, that's fine.
You were saying that you all take work, you know, kind of doing the e-commerce thing, you know, just to
there's a lot of different things that we all do. So when I say that I work in the music industry, it's not that like everyday life is doing some really fabulous music video. We're all taking work from, you know, until you make it at the top, we're taking work from a lot of different sources. So there's days that I'm working on, you know, taking pictures for people's websites, and there's days that we're doing just magazine editorial work, which hopefully you're doing for your entire life, because that's where a stylist gets to shine. That's like our moment. But yeah, the bulk of what I do and where we're trying to steer my career is to work with musicians. So with them, it can be everything from a TV appearance to their music videos to anything that they have to do, album covers, daily life. And some of them some of them will want a stylist along all the time, and some of them I see a couple times a year. So it just really depends on the talent.
That really is interesting. And I'm sure, now you said you've been, you know, in college since Point Break. So, you know, I'm assuming, you know, you've been in the fashion industry for a while. You must have seen a lot of things change.
I mean, it was an old movie when I was in college. I'm 31.
Oh, okay.
But I've been in the fashion industry since literally right after college. I packed up my car and drove down to LA saying that I'm going to work in the fashion industry in some capacity. I really had no plan. I had no background in it. So we're going on 10 years, creeping up on it.
There you go. Okay. And what would you say is the biggest thing that you've noticed as far as, you know, a change in fashion as when you started then, and then, you know, where we're going into 2016 with fashion?
Two biggest changes. One is mainly involving menswear, where a lot more men are taking a lot more risks in fashion, and I wouldn't even want to call them risks at this point. It's just becoming more mainstream for guys to be well-dressed and a little bit more trendy, where I think in the past...
A little edgy.
Yeah, and in the past, I mean, probably the 90s and early 2000s, it really wasn't like that. But men are looking a lot more sharp these days, and there used to be a stigma that went with guys who wanted to shop or that cared about how they look, it's going away, if not gone, depending on where you live.
Well, and that, yeah, I would say that's key, because there are plenty of times that I'll go into small towns and literally people just, the looks that I get, or, you know.
Oh, my God, trust me, I understand. I have been cornered at a table. I'm from Northern California, and my sister and brother-in-law at the time lived up in Folsom, which, if anybody doesn't know, if you are driving to Tahoe from Sacramento, it's along that route, about 45 minutes north of Sacramento, and it's kind of the middle of nowhere. So my brother-in-law and I, and, you know, he looks like your typical white Abercrombie boy, blends in just fine up there. Him and I go to this little hole-in-the-wall restaurant because it has really good biscuits and gravy, which is one of my favorite things. So my sister was working, and she takes me up there to breakfast, just the two of us, and the place is full of cowboys. I mean, we are in the country, which is what I grew up in, but I had just kind of grabbed whatever jeans and t-shirt and coat and jacket and beanie I had lying around, which up there makes me stick out like a sore thumb. And this, I mean, middle-aged, full-on cowboy hat, cowboy boots comes up to our table, convinced that I am one of Steven Tyler's daughters, and which one am I? And he's so excited to meet me, and on and on and on. And I'm like, I promise you, I'm not.
Right.
One, if I was, I would be 3-4 inches taller than I am. I've met them. These are really tall girls. And I'm tall, but the shortest of them has a good 3 inches on me. I had to bring out my ID and show it to him for him to believe me that I was not related to Liv Tyler and Steven Tyler, stick out like
right.
Sore thumbs. So yeah, in towns like that, I can get it, but you should still dress well.
Well,
even,
and I think
that's
a key. Right, and you know, and that's kind of how I've always felt. And now, granted, I'm 30 as well, so this is, you know, years that it's finally getting to the point, like you said, where I'm going back to the same old towns where I used to get looks, and now people are, you know, better dressed than me sometimes. And I'm going, what?
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's just funny, but I always was that person. And it's interesting because people have told me, you know, ex-girlfriends or old friends or family or, you know, whoever has always told me that, you know, they used to make fun of me and stuff, but at the end of the day, you know, I always appeared to be very confident because, you know, I was confident in the way that I was dressed. I felt good in the clothing that I had on. I was always appeared to be hygienic and well-groomed and stuff like that, instead of, like you said, I grew up in the country as well. So, you know, going back to those towns, like, you know, in the town I grew up in, you know, a Christmas party meant you put on your new flannel t-shirt or your new flannel button-down or whatever, you know, for the Christmas party that you haven't worn on the farm yet. Like, you know, so it's to them, you know, obviously it's a big difference, but I think I agree with you. And even if we have listeners that still live in some of these towns where, you know, they want to dress nicely, but they're kind of afraid, I would say, you know, forget about it. There's a lot of positive things that I've experienced personally that come out of, you know, dressing the way that you want to dress anyway.
And you can dress nicely without sticking out, and a lot of that comes down to fit.
To
so
fit,
you might
mean to
fit, like how your clothes fit you. It's about picking more modern cuts than your fit. And in terms of color and style, it's not necessarily going to make you stick out like a sore thumb.
Right. So, in other words, you know, leave the side boob dress at home and just pick something that's more of a color for the
season.
It's
about what
works.
Yeah, it's about what works for that individual. And I think that the basis of being well dressed comes down to how your clothes fit you. And from there, if you want to stick with plain blue jeans and white T-shirts because that's what you're comfortable with, well, great. Every, like, rock star in history has made $5 billion wearing jeans and white T-shirts. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. That's my favorite look on a guy, is a really well-fitting pair of jeans and a white T-shirt. But that's the thing. They have to fit well. But then if you're a guy who wants to take risks, and if you want to take that and then go to H&M or All Saints or whatever store attracts your attention and buy the newest, trendiest thing, that's great. Do it. But it dressing well doesn't mean that you have to stick out from the crowd.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because I feel like how you dress, though, can also very much so be a representation of, like, kind of your personality. I mean, do you agree?
Absolutely. I mean, we consider ourselves creative for a reason. If you talk to somebody in my industry, we are artists. I use clothes and wardrobe to express myself the same as when a painter paints, as when my artists are on stage singing or writing their music. It's the same thing. It's my self-expression. I just use a different medium than most people would interpret as that in the past. Or
so
if you go back far enough, fashion totally was art, but it got lost for a while.
Yeah, it really did. But what would you say, though, about, you know, the stigmas associated with the way you dress? Like, I remember when I was going into middle school, and this is an extreme example, but it's just an example. I remember when I was going into middle school, they were like, you know, oh, if you want to be, like, in this social group, this is the way you need to dress. If you want to be in this social group, this is the way you need to dress.
Completely.
And I felt
and
like I was...
Looking back on the way that I dressed in high school is hilarious, because it's so not me. But I dressed for the group that I fit in with. I didn't know any different.
So let's start with first, if people know what kind of clothing they naturally like, where would be a good source for them to get information on how to, you know, dress in that particular style? I mean, obviously, like you said, and we'll talk a little bit more about, you know, fitting clothes for your body style and stuff, but how does someone say, okay, I want to dress as, you know, whatever, I don't know, I like you said, blue jeans and a white T-shirt. So then how does one go about with, you know, no fashion education or no personal fashionista like you behind them picking out their jeans? How do they know, you know, these are the types of jeans and this is how I should wear them and this is the kind of cut that's trending right now and so on and so forth? Where would they find that?
That is a good question in a lot of different places. So my first question would be, where did they see something that made them want to dress like that? Because if it was a store ad, go to that store. It can be really super that simple. If you saw a store ad for H&M and you said that model looks really great, go to it. Now, I think the biggest mistake that most people, not men, this applies generally to men and women in the general public, biggest mistake people make when they're trying to shop, dress, style themselves is that they try to do it 100% by themselves. I have a job for a reason. It's not easy, you know? And there is not very many areas, I mean, other areas in people's lives where you do something completely by yourself. Like, you don't do your taxes completely by yourself. You either have a computer program that's guiding you, or you have an accountant or a tax person that's doing them for you. There's something like that that applies to most places of people's lives. You know, the systems. Yet most people are trying to dress themselves entirely by themselves because apparently we've been told that it's easy. It's not. Dressing myself is the hardest thing, and it's my least favorite thing. I hate going shopping for myself. It's not easy. So the biggest thing I would say is to don't try and do it yourself. And the easiest way to get help is to utilize the people that work at the stores.
Mm.
And if you're going to a my phone made a funny noise. If you're going to a store and you're asking for direction and the people there cannot help you, don't shop there. Because even, I mean, when I go shopping for my clients, I'm usually on a really tight budget and I'm usually in a really big rush. Trust me, I grab when I go to H&M and follow this tip, and I'm sorry if it sounds offensive to anybody in any way, find the best dressed person in the store that works there. Grab that person and ask for their help. In my experience, they're really helpful because they care. That's why they dress really, really well that day, is because they care about fashion. They're helping people all day long who don't want advice, who just want to be like, where is this in another size? For somebody to come in and say, can you help guide me? I need to get some updated wardrobe. That should be the dream highlight of their day, to get to do something like that. And a lot of them can be really, really helpful. And they know their stock. They know what's in their store. They know how things fit, and they should be able to make your life a lot easier. And again, if you're going into a store where the people that work there can't do that for you, go somewhere else. And I can expand on where people should shop, but you can let me know if you want to do that now or get to it later.
No, I mean you're spot on so far. I mean the thing is, and you can go into one H&M and no one there is really helpful, and walk into the next H&M and somebody will be. And it's not necessarily, you know, the brand. It's the sales associates is really what it comes down to. And like you said, when you find someone that is, you know, that well dressed, you're absolutely correct. Normally people just want to know what the next size. But I've had people tell me before. And I figured this out on my own a few years ago, and honestly, it was just because it got to the point where I think a lot of men, honestly, well, for years, I think it's changing now, but I think years ago, a lot of men were embarrassed to go in and ask those kinds of questions. Because like you said, there was a stigma to begin with.
I completely agree with you. Completely agree with you.
But then I got to a point where I was just like, you know what, I don't care if I'm embarrassed or not. I would rather, like, I'll never see the sales associate again, but I would rather be able to look well tonight wherever I'm going. So once I started asking, it was actually typically a female, but whenever I would ask a sales associate, like, they would get so excited, and they'd be like, oh, my gosh, I've never been able to just completely dress somebody before in a line. Because I would just tell them I need a whole outfit for tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I got, like, 30 minutes, you know, just got off the plane, whatever. And, you know, and they would just get so excited. And it was like you said, it was the highlight of their day.
It should be the highlight of their day.
Absolutely. The highlight of the week. And then you know what they would do? They would take pictures of me and, like, put it on their Instagram and stuff, because they were so proud and they were so excited about it. And the best part is now, especially if that's a place, you know, that you, like, say, I don't know, I go to L.A. once every 2 months or something. Now I know that there's this girl there or this man there that when I go in town and I need new clothes, they've already got me dialed in, you know, and I go right to that person and it's taken care of. And that, I think, is a very good avenue for a lot of our listeners who don't necessarily have money to have a private fashionista, you know, follow them around and go shopping for them. But at the same time, you could almost...
What general person can? I can't afford that. I wish I could afford my services. That would be awesome.
Yeah, especially because you said dressing yourself is, like, your least favorite thing to do. But,
least favorite thing. One time I had a magazine shoot me for an article. I had an interview, and I brought in my stylist friend to dress me because I was like, this is so outside of my wheelhouse, because when I picture outfits, they're not on me. And I literally brought in somebody else to dress me. It was great.
Well, while we're talking about places to shop, and I know you've dropped H&M a few times, and there's tons of places. You know, H&M obviously is you said you're on a very tight budget. Obviously, H&M is a place you can go to do that stuff. And there's a lot of things that I've personally realized, but I would love to get your advice more for these men. But, like, for example, H&M, if I just need, like, a plain white V-neck or something, it's perfect. I go in there, I pay, $4 for the T-shirt, and you know what I mean? It's a plain white V-neck.
Maybe
like, six. Who cares? Like, there's certain
yeah.
or like a scarf or whatever. Like, there's certain things that you can do. And so, but then again, you know, H&M isn't available to, you know, where everybody lives and stuff. So I would say, as a more general rule, like, what, as far as finding the right places to shop, and I think you and I both know, you way better than I know, but I think a lot of men don't realize either that if I go to Express to buy a pair of jeans and then I go to Banana to buy a pair of jeans, even if they're both 30-30, they're not
completely different.
Absolutely. And like Arrow, for example, as embarrassing as it is, because Arrow's like this like high school themed like line.
No, I know what you mean.
Those,
I know what store it is.
Well, like, those jeans fit me better than any jeans I've ever bought. And so I actually go to Arrow, you know, just for those jeans. Even though when I walk in there, I see like high school kids everywhere. But it's,
it doesn't
matter. I don't
that
think
is
a lot
my
of,
number. That is my number one thing, is that you, it doesn't matter where you shop. It is about finding a brand that fits you well, and that brand is going to continue to fit you well for the rest of your life, unless the brand goes out of business or unless they get a brand new creative director and completely overhaul everything, which really is rare.
Interesting.
Because
interesting.
I think, well, people don't, well, one, in the past, at least better off financially, men have always shopped that way. My dad, my uncle, I guarantee, well, for my dad, I know as a fact, for multiple of my uncles, I would guarantee that this is the case also. He buys his clothes from one store, maybe two or three, but most of them come from one store. He's been buying his clothes from that store, from that salesman, for the last 30 years. My sister is 35, so for the last at least 35 years, my dad's been buying clothes from the same store, from the same salespeople. My sister once mentioned to me that dad always looks so great. My dad is very well-dressed, and I've never seen him shop, and I said, that's because dad shops at one store in Napa Valley, and he shops when they go to Napa Valley, and we don't go with them, so you've never seen him shop. And my sister said, he only shops at one store? And I said, yeah, Mario's in Napa Valley. Everything he owns comes from there, unless he needs, like you said, something like on the last minute that we're not going to drive to Napa 3 hours away because we need a tie. He won't just go pick one up. There's a reason. Every time he went there, the clothes were beautiful. They fit him well. The people knew what he wanted. He was in and out. It was very easy. It was very simple. And obviously, he was buying very expensive clothes, but that can be true at any price level. Brands don't change their cuts year to year to year drastically. Patterns are very expensive and they're very time consuming to make. They're tweaking for the most part. They might tweak a cut a little bit, lengthen it, shorten it, maybe a boot cut goes slightly more boot cut. But the way that the pant fits you or the shirt fits you, the basic style of it is not going to change. They're changing the buttons. They're changing the fabric. They're changing the print. They're updating the style a little bit. But basic fits don't change. Also, you can look a little bit at your body type, as men are getting a lot more options out there to them. European brands are cut a lot slimmer. Look at how European men dress, as stereotypically as we've been making fun of them forever for wearing tight pants. They wear their pants tighter. If you walk into H&M or Zara, the pants are going to be cut slimmer because they wear their pants tighter. If you look at a Japanese brand, all the pits are really snug and really trim. Why? Because a lot of the time they're smaller and they like their clothes really snug and really trim. So you can kind of look at that. If you're a bigger guy, you might want an American brand like Boss, Ralph Lauren. That's how they're traditionally cut. It's going to always be a little bit bigger than if you're walking into a European store or a super high fashion store like All Saints and Rag & Bone, who are going to have a more trendy cut going on because they're in a higher fashion world. Me.
So I'm a guy, I'm listening to the show, spring's coming up, I want to go out and buy a couple new outfits, maybe take it seriously. Maybe up until now I've just been buying my blue jeans at Walmart, and I decide it's time for me to go get some nice clothes that actually fit me. But I don't want to spend money on clothes if they're going to be the wrong ones for me. And I know if I go speak to a sales associate, they're obviously going to try to sell me on their line, even if their cut isn't the best for my body style. What do you suggest?
Find a look that you want to emulate. Just, like, literally, find a picture. And, one, carry it with you so you don't get distracted. And show it to the sales associates. And if you're an impulse shopper like me, don't be an impulse shopper. I'm the worst at walking into somewhere and thinking, oh, I think this is really cute, and I don't think it through, and I want it, and I need to have it right now, and I buy it. And you don't end up with what you want. So if you're unsure of things, then sleep on it or bring a friend with you who's impartial. I mean, it doesn't even matter if it's a fashionable friend. Grab somebody who thinks that it would be fun to go shopping with you for the day and give them the picture and be like, don't let me get off track. I want something that fits me like this. Don't let some salesperson sucker me. And
right.
Friends can be very helpful like that. You know, they're going to look at the pant. And then it also gives them, bringing friends with you and asking them for honest opinions can be hard because nobody wants to hurt their friend's feelings, and it can be very hard to say, no, that doesn't look good on you. But it's very easy to say, no, this doesn't look like the picture that you gave me.
Right.
Also, be open to a picture not necessarily being right for your body type, but for most men's clothes, that really shouldn't be that big of an issue. I mean, it's not like we're talking about girls with huge, fluffy A-line skirts that they shouldn't be wearing because they're too short. Like, men's clothes don't have that big, fluffy skirt that are going to make you look short. You have a lot more leeway.
Are you sure?
I'm really positive. All guys everywhere should be wearing a skinnier pant right now. I have literally had models come to set where they're, or sorry, actor extras where it's really low budget. Sometimes it's, I'm not getting clothes. I'm giving a list of please to an actor or an extra or whoever they are of stuff for them to bring from their wardrobe. And it like astounds me sometimes that guys who are my age or in their mid-20s and trying to be actors show up with like really oversized baggy jeans like it's 1992, and I'm like, really?
JNCOs, babe. Man, what was JNCOs and what was the other
but
one?
But I'm like, I don't know. I only remember JNCOs. And it's
anyway,
like, if you're deliberate, if you're really fashionable and you're doing that as a statement, go for it, knock yourself out. But if you're only wearing baggy jeans because you have not updated your wardrobe to have a skinnier cut, you should have a skinnier cut, and it's not really a body type thing. It should just be more trim. It can be straight leg as opposed to like relaxed fit or wide leg, but your pants should be skinnier. Like every boy that you see on TV and in ads, like everybody can't pretend like they're not blasted with fashion advice all the time.
That's
this right. is 2016. It's on billboards. It's in magazines, it's flashing on your TV, it's even if you're only watching Netflix, guess what? Every single character is dressed semi-well, you know? You can see how the pants are fitting these days and emulate it. And any store that you walk into should have modern fit pants. You have to go out of your way to try and find the baggy ones, which makes me impressed that boys still find them.
Yeah, no, this is really good. And it's funny because someone actually just wrote in, and I was thinking this, but I didn't want to say it. So it's funny that they also said the same thing. the problem that I have with skinny jeans. Well, his comment was like, my boys won't be able to breathe. But that's the problem I have with skinny jeans. See, I personally like skinny jeans because I'm 5'6", 5'7", depending on how bad I slouch, and so I like the skinny jean because it makes me appear taller. And however, it's like almost impossible for me to find a pair of skinny jeans that I can like put on and sit down without feeling like I'm suffocating down there. You know what I mean? And I think a lot of men actually have that problem. So like we see,
I have a really easy solution to this. Go up two sizes.
Go up two sizes.
yours go up a couple sizes. Or if then that doesn't work, if then they're just baggy, you need a different cut of skinny jeans. Granted, I'm not a boy, so I cannot personally relate to solving this problem, but I do dress boys for a living. And I have heard that problem complained. And if it's like for a photo shoot, I say, suck it up. Fashion isn't always comfortable. And you're going to wear these jeans for 20 minutes. And then I will take them back to where they came from. And we don't have to wear them in life because your little boys are being crushed. If your waistband is bigger and you have a little bit more room in that area, but your leg is still a bit skinnier, like that exists. So you should, if that is a problem, it's not the right jean for you. So try going up a couple sizes, one or two sizes, to just see if that gives you more room in your waistband. Like, girls wear their jeans skin tight, meaning that, like, I get really uncomfortable in my skinny jeans because I can't breathe so well for, like, 5-8 hours because they're tight up to my waist. Boys' jeans on their waist should not be tight. And I mean that, like, I don't think it looks good. I like boys' jeans to be able to be slightly sagged, and boys wear belts for a reason because it helps keep your jeans up. So if you don't need a belt, then your jeans don't fit you right, in my opinion. Because you're right, it shouldn't be that tight up there. And I can, like, think about, like, boys that I consider really well-dressed and in their day-to-day lives and how their skinny jeans fit them, and they are not having that problem. Because, like, one of my best friends, like, it's more a problem of, like, hey, Ben, pull up your pants, like, everybody can see your boxers kind of thing. But his jeans are skinny. They're not tight on his waist. Yeah.
So one size pant might not be, like, the size pant you pick for every pant ever. It might actually change
style. I change drastically from one size to another depending on the style, depending on how I want a style to fit me, and depending on what store I'm at. Like, at H&M, I can wear a full size or two bigger than I wear at any other store. They're cut really small. And also, just like girls, don't pay attention to the size on the waistband. Buy your clothes that fit you. If it bothers you, cut it off. You know, it's a number. So if that's anybody's thing when they're buying clothes, that, like, oh my God, I'm a 36, that sounds huge. Buy the jeans that look good, and it doesn't matter.
So if you're just starting off, you're listening, you know, to the show, you decide you want to do this, and they took some advice from you on where to go and stuff, I guess the next question would be, how do you start to build a wardrobe? I remember when I first started building my wardrobe, I was going, oh my goodness, do I buy, you know, and what I ultimately did was I went with pretty much neutrals and stuff that I could go pick one item and then just change one item out and I had a new outfit kind of a thing. But I remember how overwhelming it was at first because I was like, well, I don't want to buy, you know, these blue dress shoes because I'd only be able to wear them twice, or I don't want to, you know what I mean? Like, it's just how do you first start spending your money? Yeah. What would you suggest
You start with the items that you wear more often. So if you are wearing jeans every day in your day-to-day life, jeans and t-shirts, then you want to start by buying really, really good jeans and t-shirts. And just like you said, you want to start with neutrals. And neutral can be whatever is neutral to you. Neutral to me is black. Me buying a blue jean would be like out of left field. How am I going to work that into my wardrobe? Because my wardrobe is mainly black. But for most people, a basic blue jean would probably be a blue jean. For you, if that's a gray jean, that's fine. So it's whatever. But we're talking neutrals is gray, navy, brown. These are all neutrals. Denim is a neutral. Khaki is a neutral. Gray is a neutral, dark gray is a neutral, black is a neutral, olive is a neutral. Neutral is encompassing to a lot of colors. They're just colors that we consider to go with everything. So not orange, not pink. Neutrals can be whatever they are to you. If neutrals to you are black jeans and a black t-shirt, start with that. If that's what you wear every day, if those are the colors that you like. If it's blue jeans and a white t-shirt, start with that. If your day-to-day is wearing trousers and button-downs, start with that. So you have to start with, you know, building on what you are going to get the most use out of, which is being realistic. What do you want to put on most mornings and what is most functional for your life? If you're a student,
what would you
don't
say
run out
is,
and buy a bunch of suits because you don't need them.
What would you say is, like, must-haves in the closet for men?
So, really well-fitting jeans. And I wish that I could say that there's, like, five other types of pants that men need, and that's really not true. If you don't need to wear trousers to work, I don't really think that you need them. You need a really good dark or black pair of jeans.
Well, now you have dress jeans, too, so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, is that if you have a nice, well-fitting, dark pair of jeans, and you don't need trousers for work, other than, like, a black tie wedding, guys can get away with jeans to 99.9% of events. So unless you love trousers or you really wear them to work or you want to wear them, I don't think they're a necessity for most guys. So really well-fitting jeans, well-fitting T-shirts, again, whatever colors, cuts, if you like a V-neck, if you like a crew neck, if you like the more trendy, longer fit, it doesn't really matter. It should fit you well. It should be a nice fabric. And again, in neutrals. A jacket. A good, well-fitting, nice jacket. It can be leather. It can be denim. It can be canvas. It can be a bomber. It can be whatever is your style. While I said that guys don't need trousers, you do need a good blazer. It can be plain black, gray, navy, whatever your style is, but you should have a blazer. If a girl is wearing a cocktail dress, you should put on a blazer. If a girl put on heels, you should be well-dressed. If a blazer isn't your style, at least like a really nice leather jacket or something. If a girl put on heels and a dress, a boy being in jeans and a T-shirt that are ratty is not acceptable. And that is like a problem these days. Or a backwards or a sports team jersey.
Would you say it's a problem for a man to be more well-dressed than the woman he's going out with?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Because
it might be a problem for him or her, but I don't think it's a problem.
Yeah, I've dated
some guys who I consider super well dressed, and I'm like, shit, I better actually like up my game and get dressed like I care, and not like I'm rolling out of bed and throwing on the same jeans and tank top every day.
Yeah, yeah. So,
but no, I don't think that's something they should be worried about. And if a guy is more fashionable than the girl that she's dating and she wants fashion help, then that should be fun for them to do. Hey, let's go shopping and dress me up. That's like my dream in a guy, is a guy who would want to go shopping with me and pick out clothes for me.
So as far as shoes go, I mean, I feel like there's so many different types of shoes that men have to have. In their closet.
No,
like go-tos.
Totally.
I,
not at all.
I
you should
like...
have a sneaker that is for working out, and it should only be working out, and it should never go anywhere else ever. It goes to the gym, it goes running, it goes whatever you do for working out, and it does not go anywhere else. It doesn't go to the bar for drinks. It does not go on a date. Those shoes only go for working out. Have a different pair of sneakers that are nice and that are well taken care of and that are not running shoes, that are like a nice sneaker that you would like see Kanye wear. I'm sorry if you hate Kanye. I kind of hate Kanye, but he is really well dressed. So like a nice sneaker. That can be your sneaker that can go on a date, that can go to bars, that can do whatever. And there's the world of sneakers out there, and they don't all cost $1 million. There's like really, really wonderful ones for like 50 at H&M or like 100 from some smaller labels. And then a dress shoe. And if you just want to have one dress shoe because you don't wear them every often, you should have a black dress shoe because they go with everything. And then, like you said, that's like your basic wardrobe. Oh, and a coat. Like I said, you should have a jacket. You should also have a coat, an overcoat, a nice one, or a trench coat or something, unless you live in California and never travel ever or even go to Tahoe. Unless you live somewhere really warm and you don't leave, you should have a nice coat invested, because when you need one, you need one, and it's going to be like the topper of your outfit, so it should be a nice one.
And then you can, like, build, like you said, that you don't know where to start, and then a blue shoe should, like, you think it's cool, but it's, you're only going to wear it a few times. So that's where you can start building, is once you have your basics, then you have a pair of Fox shoes, and once you're being like, okay, I'm bored of these, I wish I had another option, then you can buy the blue ones that you're only going to wear occasionally when you're sick of your black ones that are your basic shoe. Once you have a great black leather jacket and you wear your leather jacket all the time, then maybe you get to buy a brown one or a blue one or a gray one or a more embellished black one or, you know, et cetera. You get to build your wardrobe from there, what you think is fun and what you're wearing a lot of.
Would you ever think it's acceptable for men to wear, like, sandals or flip-flops?
That's really tricky because I want to say no, but
yeah,
sandals are coming back in. So, like, you've seen, like, super trendy boys wearing, like, black Birkenstocks and black socks. Have you not? I guess if you don't live in L.A. or New York, you're going to have no idea what I'm talking about. But, like, they're trendy again, like Birkenstocks. If you're not, like, on the game fashion-wise, like, if this conversation isn't really boring for you, you shouldn't be wearing them. Because, like, you have to know how to do it and do it well. Or if you have someone at a store that can hook you up with how to do it properly and you're confident enough to rock it, but should you be, like, willy-nilly going out and buying a pair of sandals and wearing them? Probably not. To the beach.
No, so it
or the pool.
It would be more of a, get you a pair of Sperry's or something, some kind of boat shoes or something, if you want to wear something when you're going out on a boat or if you're on the beach or you're going to the pool, but try to stay away from
it. Oh, totally. Totally. Yeah. Or, I mean, if you're at a pool or if you're at a beach, then a sandal is fine. But for, like, walking around the city, no. Appropriate footwear is always appropriate. So if you're on the beach, can you put on a sandal? Absolutely. If you're at, like, a party at a pool, should you be wearing a sandal? Probably not. Put on a boat shoe, a loafer with no socks, a pair of Converse, anything would, you know, pretend that you're at a party somewhere else and dress appropriately.
Yeah, now that makes perfect sense. So how do you know you're on the, you know, inside loop, this is what you do all the time. How does somebody from the farm towns that you and I grew up in know where things are going and trending as far as men's fashion goes?
I mean, if you really want to know and you want to keep up with it, it's the information age. So social media and buy magazines, and really 90% of magazines are available online these days. You don't need to go buy them. You can just flip around their websites and men's blogs. Honestly, I don't look at men's blogs. You guys would have to tell me if there's good or not good menswear blogs out there. If that's a really lacking, maybe somebody should speak up and I'll start one. But I don't think it's necessary unless you want it to be necessary, meaning that you should just be able to walk into a store and buy clothes that fit you well and look at some store advertisements and pay attention to what you're seeing on TV in terms of what cuts are slightly updated. But I don't think it's necessary to be on top of the latest trend. Unless you really want to,
it's more important
to waste your money. It's more important to dress for
your body
and your life.
Okay, so then let's talk about that. So then, how do they know? I mean, besides asking a sales associate, I mean, like, obviously, if you're super tall, don't wear vertical stripes. Like those kinds of tips. Like, what are some, you know, good tips for guys, you know, without spending time sitting down with a sales associate and going over like their exact body type? Like, what are some just do's and don'ts for your body, for different body types?
That's hard because I don't believe in a lot of them, like the no horizontal stripe thing. Like, there's a place, well, that mostly applies to girls. I haven't seen a lot of men with horizontal stripes. But I think that there's always a time and a place for rules to be broken. And as much as you would think that somebody in my profession is spending a lot of time researching trends and what's coming and all of that. I don't know if other stylists are, but I'm not, because I'm trying to make the trends, not follow the trends. But
that makes sense.
I think it comes down to even tuning into this show and having someone like me tell you that body shapes are trimmer. Your clothes shouldn't be baggy. They should be close to your body. And from there, you can really go whatever way you want. So I don't necessarily believe in following a bunch of rules, because I think that they're really stressful. And I believe in wearing what you like really wholeheartedly. Meaning even to the point that if you're listening to me say that cuts are really a lot trimmer and you should be wearing a skinnier jean and you're like, screw you, I think that looks stupid, then don't listen to me. Because you, first and foremost, the most attractive thing about anybody and the most endearing thing, I'm not necessarily talking romantic, the most attractive thing in a job interview in life is confidence. So if you're not confident in what you're wearing, it doesn't matter what you're wearing. You have to be able to be confident in it. So that is my number one thing. Be really confident in what you're wearing. If you don't like something, don't let a sales associate talk you into it because they say it's trendy or it looks cool. Because it's going to sit in the back of your closet, or you're going to put it on and you're going to feel stupid. And you don't want to feel stupid. Your clothes should make you feel confident. That's why I do what I do, is because clothes can transform someone. When we're talking about artists, a lot of them are going on stage with alter egos. They're creating a whole persona to get to this point where they're going and performing in front of hundreds or thousands or millions or billions of people. And it takes a lot to get them there. So when we're creating an outfit, we're creating, you know, a whole confidence alter ego persona for them to go perform, and clothes really have that power. So your clothes should make you feel great. If they're not, keep trying. And shopping's not easy. So the biggest place for anybody to start is to go shopping. And it's not going to be that you walk into one store and you walk up to one sales associate and they put you in an outfit and it's great and you're happy and your life has changed. Shopping is hard work. You might have to go to 5 stores to 10 stores before you find something that's working for you. And it's a learning process. And if you want to dress well, you're going to have to put in some time and some work. It's not easy.
Speaking of a learning process, one thing that I had, there used to be this thing called Color Me, I think it was called Color Me Mine in New York. And
it still exists.
Oh, well, I haven't been able to find it in forever. You're going to have to send me
the
info if you
know
where it's at.
Okay.
Yeah, I've literally been looking for it for the past few years because I wanted to take some of my students and stuff up there to put them through it. Well, you know what I'm talking about then. Perfect. So for those who don't know what I'm talking about, basically you learn your color palettes and stuff. So, like, I know what my power colors are. If I'm, like, really sick one day and you could tell I look sick and stuff, I know there's certain colors that I wear. I know there's other colors that I just do not wear. And it's interesting because, you know, we were talking earlier about what your favorite colors are and just go with something that you will typically wear. And one of the things that I had to learn myself was, you know, some colors that I enjoyed wearing or, like, colors I should never wear ever again. Like, with me in particular, it's green. If I wear the color green, I literally look like the green smiley face that looks sick when you're doing an emoticon or something. Just because I'm Italian, so I have this, like, complexion, and I've had to learn that about myself. So, anyway, my point is that I never would have known that had I not gone there. And I was actually going to ask you if you know of any services that like that anymore.
I'm going to have to look and get back to you, because I've definitely heard of what you're talking about, and if there's not still something, I would be shocked. So I'll look into that, and I will contact you, and you can tell them next week or whenever you guys do this again.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, I'll let everybody know that's something, because that's a pretty amazing, just to be able to take an hour of your time and sit down with somebody. And it's the same thing, I guess, with, you know, taking an hour of your time and sitting down with you or someone similar to you, you know, just the education that you would have for years and years to come just based off of, you know, like, I feel like men will sit down and they'll they'll see a personal trainer every week, or they'll, you know, pay to see a nutritionist or anything else. But nobody ever thinks to sit down with a stylist and just give them an hour of their time to learn something as simple as cuts and colors that, that they'll now know for the rest of their life.
And
I mean,
if we want to take it a step farther for people that are like going in and talking to a sales associate sounds like a nightmare. I'm not struggling financially. I want to look really well, look really good. Like, how do I legit get some help? Look for stores that have actual personal shopping services. Because that's another thing, is that people didn't used to do this by themselves. And fashion has turned into fast fashion. And I know I've mentioned H&M a few times. Morally and fashion world-y, I actually have big issues with them in terms of needing to dress yourself on a budget and look modern and cool and have it be easy and accessible. They're great. So
yeah.
I have very mixed feelings on stores like that. If I could afford to not ever go there, would I give them my business? No. I truly disagree with a lot of things that stores like that are doing, because they have taken away from fashion being special, and, you know, it's gotten to be so accessible that you're just supposed to go in and pick something off the rack and buy it. And that's not easy as they are making it out to be. People used to go and have personal shoppers. I know we're talking to men, but do men watch Friends? Did they? The TV show?
Do men
show?
Watch what? Friends?
Friends.
I feel like everybody on the planet's watched that TV show. It's like the best show
okay,
ever.
So Rachel was a personal shopper at Bloomingdale's, like through half of that. And the
right.
whole thing with her and one of her boyfriends that she meets is his gets divorced and his ex-wife threw out his whole wardrobe and he needs to build a whole new wardrobe and he goes to her as a personal shopper. That used to be kind of the norm for the middle and upper class. You didn't go pick out your clothes yourself. You went to a personal shopper, and I feel like a lot of people don't know that that still exists and that's still an option. Nordstrom's has personal shopping. Places like Topshop have
Nordstrom's.
Personal shopping. Nordstrom's definitely, but if you don't want to do Nordstrom's and you're like, I want something cooler, Topshop has great personal shopping services. Obviously, you have to be in a city where there's a Topshop. But another thing is if you start to get to know a brand, you can start to order online. You know how their pants fit you, how their jackets fit you, what size you wear. So say you live in Tennessee, but one day or you're on vacation or a business trip or whatever in New York, take a couple hours and go to a store like that and have a personal shopping session, learn what fits you, and then when you go back home, you can order online because you know what fits you. And most places have really great return policies now, so you're still going to make mistakes and you'll return or exchange things, but once you get an idea for how a brand fits you, it becomes a lot easier because you can just return to the same brand. There's not a lot of guesswork. You know how it fits. You know it's going to come and you're going to like it. You know what the fabrics are like. So it can start to be easier.
And truth be told, that is, in the long run, pays off 10 times over better than it does trying to order something from some online China place where you literally have no idea how this thing's going to
fit. No idea what you're going to get. No idea. It can look like, trust me, they pay people like me a lot of money to make things look good in a picture. And there's a lot of ways to make things look good in a picture. That doesn't mean that you're going to get what you think that you're going to get. So, yeah, getting familiar with a brand or two is, like, my biggest advice is find one or two or three brands that work for you and get familiar with them and just have those be your go-to brands. And then when you're out shopping and you see something random by some other brand, like, great, add something special to your wardrobe, but you'll always know where to go to get your basic pieces that you're always going to need.
Absolutely. And so I guess my biggest thing has always been, if I'm going to spend money, like I said, I'll go to H&M and get the white plain V-neck because I don't need Armani V-neck. But if I want to spend money, spend it on accessories and shoes is kind of where I've always thought that was where it's worth spending money. Do you agree?
I agree. I buy cheap jeans. I buy
Well, guys are different. I think that guys should spend money on shoes. I don't like spending a lot of money on my shoes because I wear them out, and I wear them out quickly. Like, I trash my shoes. I know that a lot of people are going and they're sitting at a desk all day, and girls are putting on, you know, whatever, running shoes and getting into a car and putting on their heels when they get somewhere. I legit wear my shoes all day and I trash them. So I don't like to spend a lot of money on them. And also make adjustments like that for your life. You know, if you're somebody that trashes your shoes and you can't afford really expensive shoes, buy shoes at H&M that are only $50 that when you trash them, you can buy a new pair. Don't go out and buy a $400 pair if you're going to trash your shoes in 3 months.
As a man, though, if you, like, I'm actually, I kind of disagree with you there because
really?
One lesson that I learned as a man is that when you spend money on those shoes, because I'm the same way, I don't ever wear sneakers unless it is extremely rare that I'll wear sneakers. I don't wear sandals, and I don't wear flip-flops. So pretty much all I ever wear is dress shoes or boat shoes or, you know, some kind of an Oxford or a boot maybe or something. So all of them, you know, I'm always wearing my nice stuff. So I'm the same way. But what I realized was if you go, let's say you go to like, I don't know, I'm just trying to think of something else, that like designer shoe warehouse or something, and you get like a cheap pair of shoes that you think, okay, well, who cares? They're black. They look like black dress shoes. Nobody knows the difference. Well, the thing is what I've noticed is I'll actually run through them, but shoes that are, let's say Johnston and Murphy on up kind of a thing, they last a lot longer because A, they're like a higher quality leather, and then you can take them back and you can have them redone. You can have them resold. You can do things like that that are a lot less inexpensive than constantly buying new pairs of shoes or boots, even like spending $200 on a pair of boots for a man.
That I totally agree with. I guess I mean, okay, in context, if you wear your dress shoes every single day to work, I guess if you're buying a really nice pair that you actually can get them refinished all the time and you're actually going to do that, go ahead. I'm comparing thinking as a girl and wearing heels that are upper priced a lot of the time. They are not made better, and I can spend more money on a shoe that is going to get trashed just as fast. However, I totally get what you're saying, because my $500 All Saints boots I would replace in a second if I could afford to, because I've been wearing them for 4 years.
Absolutely.
And they're trashed now, but I've been wearing them almost every day for 4 years, so it's not like a $50 boot would have done that. So I agree. Look at your lifestyle. Invest in nice things when you can. But invest in nice things that you're going to take care of. And if one sort of thing isn't good for your lifestyle, like, adjust somewhere else. But I agree with you that I buy inexpensive jeans. I buy inexpensive T-shirts. However, if I see a really nice leather jacket, I'm totally going to invest in that, because a leather jacket is going to last you forever. And that's things where I would really save up. And like you said, I do not, just like you said about inexpensive boots, I do not recommend anybody buying fake leather jackets, ever, period.
Oh, yeah,
don't
no.
buy them.
Yeah.
Just don't buy them. Unless you can if you find one that you love the look of so much and you can afford to throw it away after it starts to crack and not look perfect, then I guess you can buy that and wear it a couple times and then throw it away and then buy a different one. But in general, it is the biggest waste of money. They are overpriced and they fall apart and they don't look good. The point of leather is that when leather starts to, like, I have a leather jacket that I've had for probably 6 years that I'm still, like, kind of wishing I could break it in some more and that it would, like, loosen up and look a little bit older. Like, leather looks great as it gets old. You're going to wear one leather jacket forever unless you outgrow it, you know? That's the only way. And the same thing, you can get a leather jacket fixed. If something goes wrong with it, you take it to a shoemaker and they'll fix it.
No, yeah, absolutely. And that's a big thing with leather is spend money on leather, whether it's your wallet, your shoes, your jacket, you know. And if you... if you can't afford to go out and get 10 really nice things, but you can get 10 really cheap things, another lesson that I learned is it's a lot better to just buy the one nice thing.
Get the one nice thing and just save up until you can buy it. Honestly, do without and save up until you can buy it. If you have to wear the same ratty old denim coat from last year, I don't replace my clothes every year.
That's
what I mean. If you have to wear your ratty old denim coat from the 80s for another 2 years to save up to buy a nice leather jacket, do it and just suffer for 2 more years because it's so worth it. Otherwise, you'll just go through crap, and in 2 years, you will have spent that much money anyways, and you won't have a nice jacket. You'll have a bunch of trash jackets. So, yeah, leather, spend money. Something that is like, something like an overcoat is spend money because you're not wearing it all the time unless you live in San Francisco or London. It's like a seasonal thing, so it's going to last you a really long time. And when you wear it, it is all people see. Like, you can wear anything under an overcoat. It doesn't matter, because when you have the overcoat on, that's the whole topper. That's all people see. So that should be an investment piece, because when you wear it, it's going to be really, really obvious. You can't hide it. And when you need it, you need it. There's no going around it. I really need a new nice coat. That's why I kind of harp on that right now.
Well, listen, I really appreciate you coming on the show. What a great... great episode for Amanda. I feel like it was very educational we'll probably have to have you on again some other time, but I definitely appreciate you coming by.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been wonderful.
And likewise, and we'll do it again soon. So everybody, appreciate you tuning in on Modern Gentleman Monday, Modern Gentleman Radio. That was Shayna and telling us about men's fashion. And it was very exciting, very entertaining. We will all see each other again next Monday. And I'm not really sure what we have coming up, but it will be on our social media here shortly. So stay tuned, and we will see you then.